This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
This week in football's gone absolutely crazy. Episode, what are we on, 24 now? Yeah, Liverpool and Barcelona are fighting over Philippe Coutinho. The news today is that Barcelona have actually ended their interest in Coutinho after Liverpool rejected an offer of 119 million, as you do, that's pounds as well. So the question is, are Liverpool being a bit stupid over this year? It seems like both clubs have a kind of a warped idea of what it is to make a statement. They're both shooting themselves in the foot. Let's start with Liverpool. Is this foolish of them to reject this kind of money for him?
In any other transfer market, yes. In this one, not really. I mean, and given Liverpool's inability to spend money, I think then, you know, what's the use in having that money if you can't bring in the players?
Well, you get like five Lazar Markovic's for...
Well, I mean, at least, you know, you could get 2.5 Andy Carrolls. I think it's... In this market, it's... And the way that deal is structured isn't quite as good. I mean, it's still... Apparently £80 million up front, but it's not quite as good as it sounds. Things like, you know, if he wins the Ballon d'Or, if he becomes the world's greatest player, they'll get an add-on.
Out.
How many men have won that in the last 10 years? So personally, I don't think it's... If Liverpool had the ability to go out and sign some of the players that they wanted to sign and recoup that... through selling Coutinho, then I think maybe, but they haven't been able to do that. They haven't been able to get Van Dijk, they haven't been able to get the other targets, they haven't been able to get Keita, they haven't been able to bring in the players that that transfer money would be used for. So personally, I think it's actually, bizarrely, quite a sensible move to sit tight.
Yeah, Stephen. I think in modern history, Liverpool suggests that when they do get a lot of money for a player, they usually squander it. The money for Suarez, the money for Sterling went on players like Balotelli and Lovren, and sure there's Lallana in there somewhere and there's Roberto Firmino as well, but you're talking maybe a dozen, maybe even two dozen players that came off the result of those two transfers, and all but maybe two or three of them were a waste of money. And you also have to consider as well that if Barcelona then spend the Neymar money on a hugely inflated Coutinho, that means whoever Liverpool want to sign to place him is then hugely inflated, and
well,
then
Van Dijk's then an £80 million player.
Well, even if you know some fans might suggest they've always had the money for Van Dijk, and if that's the case, that's fine. But if they then decide they have to buy an attacking midfielder, they find themselves in the situation Barcelona currently find themselves in, where everyone knows they have that money. And you then get to a point where there's no longer world-class players to buy. So I actually agree with Tom, actually, and I think a little bizarre, actually, the kind of criticism Liverpool have been getting. Everyone's like, oh, just shut up and take the money. And you're like, well, that's not how football really works right now. You've too much money is going around and you don't tend to get a lot of value for it.
Let me play devil's advocate for a moment. Is there a case that, particularly with the signing of Mohamed Salah, that Liverpool, in the attack, can cope without Coutinho, and it's maybe more important for them that they get a central defender? And now, okay, you make the point Van Dijk's price then goes up to 80 million. Is a Van Dijk at 80 million worth more to Liverpool than a Coutinho at the moment? Because of course, you know, as I say, they've got Salah and Mane on either side. They've got Roberto Firmino who plays as a kind of false nine. You could argue that Klopp has constructed a team that doesn't really need Philippe Coutinho, and they certainly need someone at the back, because the difference last season between Liverpool being, where did they finish, fourth in the end, or fourth or third, can't quite remember, and being a team challenging for the title was their defence.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable argument, but they can double down and say, why not just have both of them? And they're in a position of strength where they don't have to take that.
Well, so far FSG haven't stumped up the cash for Van Dijk, and I know Southampton are digging their heels in and they're saying he's not for sale, but you know, if Liverpool were to offer 80 million for him, he's for sale.
Yeah, I mean, I think that deal probably will still happen. I mean, I think Van Dijk will not be a Southampton player come the 1st of September, one way or another. I think there does seem to still be some willingness to make that happen. I think, though, the fact that Liverpool don't need to sell and do have the money to buy him if they need, there's still enough of the transfer window to go that they could make both happen. The worst case scenario for Liverpool would be they lose Coutinho on the 28th, 29th of August, and there's no way of replacing him. So I think they're I completely understand them digging their heels in and saying no deal.
What about the player personally, in terms of his happiness at Liverpool? Similar situation to Arsenal with Alexis Sanchez. It seems like Sanchez is going to stay at Arsenal. They're just going to tell him you're playing the last year of your contract. Bit of a risk if you ask me. Same with Coutinho. Is that a worry for Klopp that there's been talk of a transfer request. He's told the club he wants to leave. Is it a worry that they'll have a player who simply doesn't want to be at Liverpool anymore?
Well, it's not just Coutinho. In Germany, you've got Ousmane Dembele, who's been banned from first-team training because Barcelona representatives rocked up at the Westfalen Stadion.
He's basically on his holidays in Barcelona, yeah. Just hoping to be given a shot.
It's kind of ironic that Barcelona always gets credit for being, masculine club, and then when they want to, they can go around and disrupt half a dozen clubs and, players. But, I've always said that I think sometimes it's overplayed when players, fall out of clubs and then, they start going to the huff about going in transfers. I think if the clubs say, look, we're not selling you, simple as that, you can leave then your contract or we can figure something in a year's time or something, then I think they'll get on with it. Like, as we said in the show before about Alexis Sanchez, they might huff and puff on Instagram for a couple of weeks, but when the football comes around and they actually start playing again, they tend to get on with it.
Yeah, and the perfect example, I suppose, with Liverpool is Luis Suarez, who put in a transfer request to go to Arsenal, famously for £40 million and £1, remember that? And they got an extra year out of him and they challenged for the title. Let's look at it from the other side of things. Barcelona, they seem to be, we'll say crisis, but for Barcelona, they'll probably still finish second and make the latter rounds of the Champions League. But that's a crisis for Barcelona. Is Coutinho the man they need to... It seems like they're set on finding a direct replacement for Neymar. Is he the guy to do that?
That's a big question. I mean, there was so much in losing Neymar. That was so much more than losing, one of the world's top players. It was a breaking up of that front three that was iconic and, everything that they'd built over a number of years to be able to play like that. Does Coutinho have the potential? I think it's potential rather than the finished article. I mean, he's a very good player. He's one of the best in his position, if not the best in his position in the Premier League last season. In the last couple of seasons, certainly one of. And there's undoubted potential for him to step up another level. Is he at the same level as Neymar? No. Is it one of the best options they've got? Probably. There's not a huge amount, other than buying potential, there's not really that many players I can think of that would be able to go straight into that team and do any better.
Yeah, I think what you have to kind of understand with Barcelona here is that this not only, like you said, kind of unveils this maybe self-confidence or something in the club. To me, when you've watched Barcelona the last couple of weeks, it's almost as if there is a huge amount of self-doubt around the team now, and the confidence has been hit. But I think
you looked at the 11 from last night, it just was it's night and day.
Well, they've got Gerard, Deulofeu and Paco Alcacer alongside Messi, and I know Suarez is injured, sure. But still, that shows the backup options they've got, and if things stay the way they are, one of those two is going to be a first team player.
But to just kind of take a step back as well, I think those three players up front were paving over a lot of cracks in that Barcelona team in general. I think the defence, parts of midfield as well, went up to the same standard as maybe their equivalents of Real Madrid or other super clubs around Europe. So I think they maybe have to take a more indirect approach to this. If they have this money, they should be looking at how to rebuild an entire squad, not just try and find another £150 million winger to keep this uneven team going, because even when they had Neymar, it still didn't help them. Real Madrid still managed to pip them, So they're not going to be able to replace Neymar man for man with an immediate obvious example. So maybe they have to turn and be like, right, well, now we actually have the money, we can actually just, start again and rebuild an actual proper team.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. I would agree with you in that I don't think there's a way that they can replace Neymar. I think there's maybe only one player I would say can play in the same way, and that's Dybala at Juventus, and he would cost an absolute fortune, and doesn't sound like he wants to leave Juventus either. So I think what Ernesto Valverde needs to do, I would be going for a striker to play alongside Suarez. I'd be going, I know it sounds like PSG again are going to get Kylian Mbappe. I would be tempted to put the whole $200 million on Kylian Mbappe and play Messi as the new Iniesta, because Iniesta's talking about leaving and he's not been the same force he has been. And then a front two, and then they've signed Nelson Semedo to play on the right side, and they've obviously got Jordi Alba, and you play those as wing backs. I think that's the way to do it, because I can't see how they can replace Neymar. Moving it on a little bit, is this a bit of a watershed moment for Barcelona in that they were at this sort of juncture when Luis Enrique was appointed and they went and won the Champions League and the La Liga, and everyone was like, oh, remember that time Barcelona were in crisis? Is that going to happen again? Are we going to think back at how foolish we all were criticising them and doubting them here? Or is this actually them coming down the other side of the mountain to the way they were maybe the mid-2000s, early 2000s, where they weren't the club they are now?
I'm not sure it's them coming down the other side of the mountain, but I do think there are more serious concerns than there have been for a decade. I think there are great transfer deals that are done, and there's also those great ones that didn't happen. You know, Ronaldinho going to Manchester United, every talent ever not going to Arsenal. and I think this will be one of those where there's a watershed moment where Barcelona can't get their man despite paying hugely over the odds because the entire financial system has changed. I think they have serious problems in the fact that Messi's out of contract at the end of next year. That, you know, that deal has been apparently signed for 3 months.
I was going to mention that. Is that the next problem for Barcelona? Is that, you know,
that's a huge problem.
Messi, it seems like every summer we've mentioned, though, could Messi leave, and no one really takes it seriously. But no one took it seriously that Neymar could leave. Yeah. Is the issue now Lionel Messi could look around at a club that's collapsing around him and think, I'm better off somewhere else?
Well, I mean, at age 30, he could. I mean, the English Premier League, and this is obviously not going to happen, but an English Premier League club, an Everton, could offer him £1 million a week. You know, like, that's obviously not going to happen, but that's the financial reality of it.
Finally see Messi and Rooney alongside each other.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, he was linked with Manchester City, oddly enough, this week in some crazy deal. And, you know, we talked about Wayne Rooney and his you just mentioned him there, but we've also mentioned in previous episodes, like, his kind of legacy. And we've spoke about when this kind of similar thing was happening at Man United when Ferguson left. There was this kind of, you know, what's going to happen to the club? And he immediately said, look, we need to sign quality players. We have to make sure we have quality players. And there's no doubt in my mind that Lionel Messi is thinking from a purely selfish point of view in terms of, you know, his legacy and constant rivalry with Ronaldo and whoever else comes along, even Neymar. But he will be quite simply looking at that board, looking at the people inside the club and saying, if we don't have, you know, a star-studded team next season, if we don't keep ourselves at a certain level, there's no doubt that he can move on.
Yeah, and they're signing players, like, it's not like their transfer strategy is getting really any better. They've signed Paulinho for €40 million. He's not going to solve any problems. And we mentioned, I think it was yourself, Stefan, who mentioned it maybe a couple of weeks ago, about the market is inflating so quickly that these release clauses and contracts are causing real problems. Messi's release clause, I think, is €300 million. If Neymar's worth 222, that's a bit of a bargain. You know, Griezmann was the one earlier in the window. His is 100 million. Again, that now looks like a bargain. Are we going to see more and more of these moves happen, these big moves where clubs like PSG, who seem to have got round FFP by paying them in all sorts of dodgy ways, is this going to happen more often now? Can City do that? I mean, that was a discussion today on Twitter, was can City find a way to get round FFP?
I'm sure they can. I mean, but just to kind of, you know, maybe just pump the brakes on a little bit, I would still suggest that at the end of the day, Barcelona are still Barcelona, you know, and sure, PSG might be able to get around FFP, Man City might be able to as well, but I think what Lionel Messi is looking for right now, rather than an exit strategy, is, you know, who's going to come around and fix this? And you just mentioned the situation before Luis Enrique came along. I'd actually maybe compare it more to just when Pep Guardiola showed up, when you had all these aging stars like Samuel Eto'o and Ronaldinho, for example. And everyone thought, this is the end of a generation. What are Barcelona going to do? This is Real Madrid walking. They had, you know, the barbarians were at the gate. And he came in and, you know, it was a clear-cut start again. I think what they really need is leadership. You know, sure, they've got Messi on the pitch, but they really need a proper coach in there. I don't think they've actually hired a proper coach in a long time. A coach who stands alongside, you know, in terms of quality to the players he coaches. I don't want to big up Pep Guardiola too much, but they need someone like that who's going to come along and just wipe the slate clean and start again.
I mean, I think that kind of the leadership question is the number one thing for them. I mean, and there is a serious problem at director level, you know, and, you know, Piqué questioning. I mean, can you imagine that like Real Madrid fans, you know, a Real Madrid player questioning the club president like that? It would
Yeah, Neymar didn't waste time doing it as well today.
And you know, there's been criticism. Gerard Piqué's criticised the hierarchy. The transfer policy has been questioned. People are asking, you know, there's obviously needs to be signings made. And I think if you looked at the Clásico a couple of weeks ago, the difference between a Real Madrid team that had, you know, obviously they've bought talent and there's an incredibly deep squad and, you know, there's amazing players in every position, but there's also this like very vibrant youth players coming through, and that just doesn't seem to be there at Barcelona at the moment when it was maybe 10 years ago.
The contrast between Real Madrid and Barcelona is really what kind of exposes Barcelona a little bit. As you say, the two games against Real Madrid and the Supercopa, it's almost as if the roles have completely switched. I mean, 5 years ago we were talking about Barcelona being the perfect club and Real Madrid being a bit of a basket case, and now it's the other way around. So, to the last question, I think we're all in agreement that Philippe Coutinho's not going to solve everything at Barcelona. He's not going to be the player. I mean, it doesn't even sound like they're going to get him, but...
No, I think, I mean, just to kind of maybe echo what we've already mentioned, and, you know, Real Madrid are a perfect example of this, you know, they really do need to try and figure out something that's not just an immediate, you know, plaster over the cracks. They need to figure out what's going to happen for the next 5 or 10 years, make sure they rebuild a squad. And I mean, we're talking about it as if like Barcelona have some sort of clear out sale. They've still got Lionel Messi, they've still got Luis Suarez, you know, arguably the best player in the world, maybe like, what, the third or fourth best in the world or something. And, you know, with two or three signs throughout the spine of that team, they're still easily one of the best clubs in the world. So not all is lost, but I think it maybe just need a little more, I don't know, long-term thinking.
Yeah. Is Coutinho going to fix everything? No. Would he be a statement of intent? Would he fit into the team? Yes, but you know, there's an awful lot more needed than just him, I think.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.